Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only.
Welcome to another edition of That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
You ever see a steam pipe when too much pressure builds up in a boiler or something? What happens?
Are you saying that little pipe over there?
Yeah, that blows off steam.
Really?
The relief valve. Phil's an engineer. He understands. Has a relief valve. Why do you think God gave you a dick? It's to avoid stress, man. He needs a blowjob. But not just any old blowjob.
Isn't that funny? Women cause stress, and then they can relieve it.
There you go.
This is fucked up. Now, work up all your science. Very good. Quickly, we're going to give you two in a second. Then work it up. Look at you.
Yep.
Okay. 1 in 15. They had an abstinence policy, but 1 in 15 for me.
Yep.
Go.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from a scientific standpoint. I'd be happy to. You know what it is? You can't stop teenagers from fucking.
This is fucked up.
I know I'm getting old. This very week, I've sat on my balls twice.
This is fucked up.
Unfortunately, on this visual medium, you have to put up with this. Look at this. See? Larry, feel that.
No.
Oh, you're gay.
This is fucked up.
Hey, Phil, what kind of time we got left? Hold, I can't see it from here. What you got? 10 minutes? Lucky for you folks, there's 10. Whoa, what did you have for dinner? Jesus Christ, that belch.
Jesus Christ, I got
it. Oh,
I got
it. Whoa. Smells like a Mexican's ass. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh.
This is fucked up.
All right, welcome to That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
And once again, Larry, we're here to talk about the events of the week. Sort of like a John, this week with John Oliver, or last week with John Oliver, except not as funny, not as topical, and certainly not as high production quality as HBO.
I think we're funnier.
Oh, okay.
John Oliver, you fake limey.
You limey?
You're not fooling us.
No, he's a real limey.
Yeah, I know.
All right. That Riot Show, let's get what needs to be done out of the way first and quickly, and that would be nothing but bing-bing.
Bing-bing.
That's right. Come to thatriotshow.com, thatriotshow.com, all your riotous needs. Look at past shows, clips, show synopsis, all that fun stuff. Leave a comment, like us, hate us, do whatever you need to do, thatriotshow.com. Larry, when you can't find what you want on the site, meaning human interaction, even if it's through the internet, social media might be the thing for you. Go to Facebook. Facebook.com/thatriotshow. Facebook.com/thatriotshow. And when you're done perusing our stuff on Facebook, saunter on over to Twitter. Twitter.com/thatriotshow. Twitter.com/thatriotshow. Where, in a fit of love and admiration, right before the show, I asked Ann Coulter what Donald Trump's jizz tastes like. That's the kind of high-level intellectual responses you can expect from me on Twitter.
Yes.
Why? Because I'm inspired by Donald Trump, ladies and gentlemen. I used to have an intellectual streak to me. Now it's all gone thanks to Donald Trump, or shall I say Herr Trump.
Yes, he's made you lower yourself.
Yes,
there,
absolutely, right? Like he has the rest of the country.
And I think Ann should answer your question.
Yeah. She could just say, delicious. But anyway, enough of that twat. Listen, the last thing you need to know is that That Riot Show is available as podcasts for your listening pleasure. You can find us in a lot of great places. Phil, hit the podcast roll. That would be iTunes, Spreaker, Podomatic, SoundCloud, Player FM,
Mixed Drinks?
No. whatever it is. TuneIn, Mixcloud. You saw, Phil rolled it. We're everywhere that good, great podcast can be found. Stitcher.com. All right. Let's get right to it, because there's a lot of things to talk about. As usual, you're going to get your dose of Trump ranting on this show. So let's get right to it. Listen, Larry, I don't know if you noticed this, but a lot of Herr Trump's supporters that claim they are the target of leftist insurrection. Because we all know, when we think of Bernie Sanders, we think of violence, don't we?
No, please.
A septuagenarian hippie, a fucking democratic socialist, doesn't even have the balls to be a Marxist, to call himself a Marxist, and Donald Trump is accusing that guy, everybody's grandpa, of being violent, Larry.
Yeah, well, he's a dangerous-looking guy. I mean, come on.
Holy shit.
It's the stupidest thing in the whole world. I understand that some of the Black Lives Matter and some other radical
Move on.
Yeah. I understand that they showed up in Chicago. I understand they're making threats. Okay. But to blame Grandpa Munster there is like the stupidest thing I've ever
heard. And here's the funny part. Sanders, even if you assume that it's Sanders' people that are coming to disrupt your rallies, which, by the way, when you use rally that often, all I can think about is Nazi Germany. You know, like, it's never a meeting, it's never a gathering, it's always a rally for Herr Trump, okay? But here's the thing, Sanders doesn't go out saying, go to Trump's shit and ruin it.
No,
do this,
not.
Right? But Trump, on the other hand, despite his, like, you know what it is? It's called gaslighting, Larry. That's when you tell a lie, and then when someone proves that you're lying, you just deny it and double down on the lie.
Right, like Bill Clinton.
Yeah, so that's gaslighting, or in the old days, we used to call that fucking pathological lying.
Yeah, being stubborn, and you're going to stick to your lie no matter what.
So Trump keeps saying, like, we never incite anyone to violence. We never suggest anyone do anything violent. And then you just have tape after tape after tape of him saying, you know, if you see a protester, you know, what is it? They used to take them out on stretchers, folks. They used to take them out on stretchers. Hey, Bernie, maybe I'll send some of my supporters to your rallies to break them up.
And he's basing it on nothing more than some of the protests have had a few Bernie signs.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, he's basing it on the fact that they're leftists. I'm not saying that those guys probably don't support Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, they probably don't.
But to say that Bernie Sanders sent them there to physically disrupt a Trump campaign. First of all, have you seen how these things always end up? It's like one socialist hippie with about 50 of Trump's brown shirts beating the shit out of them. Okay? That's typically the way it goes, all right? So, and you know, look, Larry, let's assume the worst. Let's say Sanders is sending those people there.
No,
I'm not saying he is, but let's assume he might be.
Okay.
Couldn't you for once be the bigger person and just say, I'm above this nonsense?
Yeah. No, instead you get this. Get him out. Get him out. You punch him in the face.
Yeah.
In the old day, you would take you out on a stretcher. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right there. Get out.
But he doesn't incite anyone, folks. Trump is, again, an asshole.
And he's now
he's gaslighting everyone.
He's talking about riots.
Yeah, so here's the
not thing. That, this
riot. Not this riot.
Yeah.
We can only hope an idiot like Trump would talk about us, because then he isn't worried about bigger issues like the country. But
he just went on, the nomination.
Yeah, that there's going to be riots. Now, how a presidential candidate with all these rubes that follow him from point to point, blindly agreeing with everything he says, when he says, if I don't get the nomination, there's going to be riots. First of all, let's get something straight. He needs to get, 1,270, 1,240 delegates to win the nomination.
Right.
If he falls even one delegate short, the rules are it becomes a contested convention.
Right.
Which means when you go to Cleveland and the Republicans have their convention, they then do the voting at the convention. So it goes round robin, almost caucus style. By the way, last week I asked what happens to delegates that committed to Rubio or Kasich. The truth of the matter is we found out that if it becomes a contested convention and the candidate has dropped out, like a Rubio, his delegates are free to vote for whoever they want.
To whoever they want to go to, right?
And guess what? Those Rubio delegates are not going for Trump.
Yeah.
They're not going for Trump. They may not go for Cruz, which I think they would. But they're definitely not going Trump's way. Kasich's people, by the fact that they're voting for a moderate, God only knows how they're going to vote.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, are they the disaffected Ohio factory workers who bought into Trump's trade war bullshit? I don't know. Maybe. Okay? But anyway, so Trump is, again, he's being either incredibly clever and incredible idiot or some incredible mix of both by saying that if he doesn't get the needed delegates, because he's leading anyway, right. he deserves the nomination. First of all, it's happened at past conventions, right? Adlai Stevenson,
Adlai Stevenson
got the nod, or was it Kefauver? Yeah, over Kefauver, right?
Yeah, yeah.
When it, even though Kefauver had more delegates at that point, because it was a contested convention for right. the Democrats. Yeah. Reagan in 76 almost pulled it out against Ford.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the only reason, you know, because it, no, neither one of them had the majority of the delegates. Right. And the only, reason Reagan lost, and at the end he lost by 60 delegates in 1976,
right.
the only reason he lost to Ford was the sitting president, and he started appointing people, giving out presidential patronage positions in exchange for delegate votes.
Right.
Because he had that power. He was still the president, so he could make somebody ambassador to, like, up my ass then or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
So anyway, so Trump is now threatening violence if the Republicans... don't give him what he wants. And for anyone to continue to think that this guy is reasonable or... we say it every week.
It's so unpresidential. It's so, why doesn't that matter to people? You're talking about a person who's going to be on the world stage for you and is going to be buffoonish, is going to be just a joke. I mean, there are going to be people like... I mean, actually, he's got a very clever commercial out right now making fun of Hillary. Did you see it?
No.
Trump's running a commercial where you see in an uncertain world, something like that, then you see Putin beating somebody up doing judo. And then you see him sitting there like a maniac like this. And he goes, we need like a real leader. And they put the clip in of Hillary barking like a dog, going, woof, 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 like that. And then they put, like... You know, and then they show Putin laughing.
Yeah.
They go another clip where I'm going, like, you know, and they do like a whole thing on that. But let me tell you something.
Right.
If Donald Trump is representing, you know, Bill Maher once said that he didn't like George Bush because he felt he was a rube on world stage. This is actually, I'm not saying I agree with that, but this is going to be worse. This is going to be, I mean, how is he going to deal with like foreign leaders and dignitaries? And
by the way, when someone asked him, what kind of team are you putting together, what kind of analysts are you putting around you, what kind of advisors are you going to have, his response, no shit, was, I talk to myself a lot.
Yeah.
I have a brain. I have the best brain.
Yeah, I have a good brain.
I have a good brain. Listen, this guy, someone who tells you I'm smart, I have a good brain, I listen to myself, I have conversations with myself, is basically a schizophrenic. And he's telling you that. The guy hears fucking voices in his head.
Can you be a narcissist and a schizophrenic?
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
Narcissist means you love yourself.
Right.
Schizophrenic means a lot of different things. Yeah, among them, split personalities. Yes.
But Mika Brzezinski the other day on Morning Joe said to him, and she's asked him like twice when he's been on before, and she goes, "Who are you? Who's going to be your foreign policy team?"
Yeah.
She goes, "Could you please tell us who you've been talking to, who you've been listening to? For your foreign policy advice?" He goes, "Well, maybe I'm going to announce very soon, but it was for the most part, I've been listening to myself." He goes, "I have a good brain." He goes, "I'm very smart and I know what I'm doing." I was like,
well, you know why? Because he always has to make it about how great he is, even when he isn't. And that's like the classic case of a bullshit artist. Like, the question is, who are you going to have advising you? Who are you going to have helping you as a team? Because if he's coming off like he's going to run the entire country literally by himself, he should be disqualified based on that alone, all right? So the question is rather simple, all right? You could either say, I'm still figuring that out.
Yeah.
You could say, well, here's my most trusted advisor, my son, or whatever, you know? But for him to say my most trusted advisor is, in essence, me, is nothing but stupid double talk that's meant to promote yourself.
Exactly.
And nothing else. So... Yeah, listen, and I'll tell you, I've seen these memes, now that you mentioned that, I've seen these memes on the internet that are driving me crazy, Larry.
Okay.
They're memes that that in order to combat the accusations that Trump isn't a real conservative, that they try to compare him to Reagan. And they say, like, here's all the different ways that Reagan and Trump are alike. They'll say, well, Reagan's slogan was Make America Great Again. That's Trump's slogan. Therefore, he's very much like Reagan. Reagan used to be a Democrat and then became a Republican. Same thing with Trump. What else did he say? Like, it was all these sort of things. Like, you could tell that whoever did this meme was some fucking 25-year-old rube of Trump's that never lived through the Reagan administration. First of all,
doesn't know anything about it.
Doesn't understand anything about Reagan, right? So first of all, let's point out the differences that underlie these that non-contextual gibberish. First of all, yeah, Reagan was a Democrat who became a Republican. Do you know why he did it? Unlike Trump, who runs as a Republican simply because it was the party that would let him do it, okay? And because if he ran as a Democrat, much like Bernie Sanders is finding out, those superdelegates would never go for him.
Right, that's the main reason.
That's the main reason.
He knew Hillary would be running. He knew that she's going to lock up the nomination at some point with the Clinton machine and all that. And there's no point in him wasting his time running on that side, especially when he had been, let me tell you, on the Democratic side with his ideas, he would have wound up like O'Malley or the other guy.
Somebody who never got out of the chute.
Yeah.
And, the truth of the matter is that that's why he ran as a Republican. Reagan literally said, I believe in smaller government. The Democrats don't stand for that anymore. Yeah. Therefore, I'm becoming a Republican. That's why Reagan switched. Look at why Trump switched.
Right.
Just for a political opportunity. That's a major difference. So don't compare Trump to Reagan on that point. On another point, Reagan was a fucking governor. Trump has had zero experience in government.
And a governor, excuse me, of a pretty large state.
Yeah, the largest.
With a lot of responsibility. It's got the fifth, as of right now, it's got the fifth largest economy in the world. And
back then it was even bigger.
California is a major responsibility. You know, I always used to laugh at Bill Clinton because he was just governor of Arkansas.
But a governor is the closest thing to president because it's elected executive position.
It's a good breeding ground. You know, it's a good training.
Absolutely.
Program, you know.
And all you rubes that keep saying, well, it's good that he's never held a government office. No. Why? I am not one of you rubes that says having zero experience at a job is a plus. Okay? You've never had elected office. Let's make you president. Have we seen what happened with Obama, who only was a senator for 18 months?
Yeah.
All you fucking rubes were complaining. Why? Because Obama's black? Is that the reason why his experience was a factor for him and not for Obama, not for Trump? Trump hasn't had experience getting elected dog catcher. Why would you want him to be your president?
Yeah, I mean, look, even for somebody like myself, who supported Carly Fiorina, even I admitted, one of the things that was clearly she didn't hold office.
She never held office.
She ran for office, but she which is more than Trump can say. But
right.
She never held office. But it is a little troubling. But you see, that's also my concern, though. I talked about on the show about Cruz and Rubio. They're just first term senators too.
I thought Cruz was second term senator. Whatever, they've been senators though. But at least Cruz, especially, has been senator for a while. It's been 4 or 5 years, if nothing else. But to promote, and listen, I'm not saying that if you don't have as much experience, it disqualifies you. But all you fucking rubes out there walking around in your overalls and shit kickers that are voting for Trump, okay? Do you realize that the equivalent of what you're saying is, I have cancer, so let me go to a doctor that's never done any cancer treatments before? That's a plus in your eyes.
Yeah.
Right? Or let me go to a car mechanic that's never worked on a car.
Yeah, the problem is you're dealing with people who are just responding to rhetoric. I mean, I hate to agree
with... That's called rubes.
I hate to agree with Chris Matthews there over on Hardball, but he referred to these people once as low-information voters. And they have to be perceived that way.
You don't have to listen to Chris Matthews about that, Larry.
No, but the point
is... Trump says that about his own people.
Yeah, I know that, but he said this a while back, and I was like, well, you know, that's absolutely true. And if you think about it, the people who are out there who are responding, even, you know, before the show started, I was looking at some celebrities who were supporting him, but you're talking about, well, we're going to build a wall. You know, he doesn't tell you anything about it, we're going to build a wall. And that translates to we're going to keep all the Hispanics out. We're going to have a temporary ban on Muslims. He doesn't explain how it's going to be done. What are you going to do? Are the TSA actually stopping people at the airports? Are you not going to sell them tickets on planes? What are you going to do? In other words, there's nothing behind it. It's just they're just reacting to the subject. We're going to win.
Right.
This is my favorite. We're going to win. And we're going to be winning. You're going to get tired of winning.
It's going to be great.
Who gets tired of winning? You don't get tired of winning. You get tired of losing. Yeah. Nobody gets tired of winning. Yeah. It's all very simple rhetoric.
And you know, you're right. And you know, when, and just to finish off the Reagan thing, and of course you have people who say, well, Reagan brought Democrats into the Republican Party, the so-called Reagan Democrats. Trump is doing the same thing. Again, out of context. First of all, the so-called Reagan Democrats didn't become Republicans. Right. They just voted Republican while being Democrats in the South.
Right.
There's a different strategy there, okay? When it comes to Trump, the so-called Democrats and independents, that, and even someone like Newt Gingrich, which I was very disappointed to see saying this shit, when he says they're bringing Democrats in, they're bringing in Democrats to vote in the primaries who are liberals, and they're doing it just to fuck up the Republicans.
Yeah.
Okay? Like, if you're a Republican or a conservative, you don't want those liberal Democrats. They don't represent what your party is about. What you want to do is convince Democrats that what their beliefs are wrong and invite them into your party and right. show them why your party is a better option for them. Not like we hate beaners, get them into the party.
Right.
Not fuck the sand niggers, get them in the party. That's not what you want to build a party around.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
That's the difference. Reagan never went around
no.
saying, like, I'm building a wall, kick out the Iranians and shit like that. What he did was he convinced Southern Democrats that liberal policies were hurting them.
And blue-collar voters in the Midwest and the and parts of
there's
the
a difference there.
There's a huge difference there. Also, I think it's a bad comparison too, because you know, Ronald Reagan was a guy, and I would describe him as a guy with a really big heart. Like, he really liked people, and he got along with people, and he was able to work with people, and he did a million things, and he wasn't lowbrow. He didn't say stupid, ignorant things. He didn't curse at people. He didn't threaten people. He didn't do any of these things. How is he like Donald Trump, who's out there
not at all
cursing, talking about the size of his penis? He's you know, and Ronald Reagan's the one who came up with the 11th commandment. You don't attack your fellow Republicans. That's all this whole entire cycle has been about.
Thanks to Trump. Thanks to Trump.
Going at, I mean, it's okay to have a little interaction. And by the way, but the fact that it's been so nasty, that has to land squarely on Trump's shoulders.
And by the way, Larry, just to expand on your Reagan thing, I've also seen people say, well, Reagan used a sense of humor to put his points across, and so does Trump. No. Reagan, look at all the clips of Reagan, if you go on YouTube, using humor to put across his point, right?
Mm-hmm.
It came off as like a grandfather telling you a funny story to make a point, okay?
Right.
Trump is not funny like that. Trump is a vicious insult comic, if anything.
Yeah.
He's an insulting piece of shit. See? Now, imagine if I'm running for president and I'm referring to other people as pieces of shit. That's what Donald Trump is doing.
Yeah.
Okay?
Ronald Reagan didn't make fun of John McCain and being a POW, shot down on his 22nd mission or 23rd mission over Vietnam. He gets shot down, he gets captured by the Vietnamese. They torture him for 5 years. They give him. Did Ronald Reagan make fun of veterans and insult them and say
Never.
Things like, I like soldiers who don't get caught? Did he make fun of somebody else's face when they were... Did he say anything about Geraldine Ferraro's face when she wound up on the ticket against him in 84? She was the vice president nominee with Mondale. Did he ever say, oh, look at that face. Is she really going to be in the West? You've got to be kidding me, for God's sake. There are no comparisons between the two of them. I mean, I understand what Newt Gingrich's point is, but he's, I mean, I'm surprised. He's a smart guy.
Yeah.
He completely whiffed on this one. The people that Trump is bringing into the party, he is getting some new people. There's no doubt. There are some people who, you know, look, every election cycle, you always hear, like, half the country doesn't bother to vote. He's got a few people who now are motivated to go vote for him.
Yeah.
And some Democrats and some independents, you know.
But if you're a Republican, you don't want those people.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, you know, but you do, but the question is, are you going to have them on election day to vote for your guy over Hillary Clinton? And that remains to be seen, because the most recent polls showed Hillary beats Trump 51-38. And Bernie, it's even worse.
Yeah.
Fucking a socialist beats him like 55-37.
Yeah, he's for people that think he's your best chance to beat Clinton, forget it. That's not the case.
Yeah.
Cruz actually is your best chance to beat Clinton, according to the polls. And by the way, let me say this about Ted Cruz. This past week, I have to say, I was very impressed with him. Now, everybody knows I'm a libertarian. My guy was Rand Paul. But I will say this. I can tolerate a conservative If he's a good conservative, meaning if he's like a Barry Goldwater type of conservative, or even a Reagan conservative. I'm not in for the religious thing, which is, I've always said, is what bothers me about Cruz. It's like he's a hallelujah, and I can't deal with that
That's
in office.
That's going to bother you about all of
them. I agree.
With the exception of Trump.
With the exception of Trump, ironically enough. But here's the thing. Cruz, this past week, was answering questions like a true conservative. So they asked him, like, Sean Hannity was asking him about flat taxes, right? Because that's Hannity's thing.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, I support a flat tax and blah, blah, blah. But more important is controlling spending. And he made some very good points against Trump because he knows that Hannity, I guess, is a Trump supporter. He basically said, have you noticed that two words that never come out of all the shit that flies out of Trump's mouth, you never hear two words come out of Trump's mouth, small business. Never. He never brings up small business and then what he's going to do to get small business on track again. You never hear that from Trump. Secondly, whereas Cruz says, I think the best solutions are for government to get out of the way of business, Trump's solution, and I thought about it, he's right. Every solution that Trump has for anything is always Trump in charge telling you what to do. And it's going to be Trump who takes care of it for you, meaning government, right?
Right.
Government's going to give you single payer
health care.
Well, how is that any different than Obamacare? No. It's just the same asshole doing this, different asshole doing the same thing. If you're a conservative or a Republican, you hate that shit. It's the reason, supposedly, that conservatives abandoned Mitt Romney last time around. Because
right.
he was the architect of Romneycare, which is what Obamacare is based on.
Right.
All right? Trump, I'm not making this up. Go to his website. He wants to do universal health care through the government. Right? We're going to build a wall. Why are you going to build the fucking wall? That's because that's what government does. Guess what else he's going to do? He's going to weaken the First Amendment so the president can say shit and not be criticized, right?
Yeah.
All this stuff. So when you look at him and you figure out that he's a fucking Mussolini in training, why anyone would vote for Trump is beyond me. And Larry, I have to admit, I am happy as pie right now.
Why?
Because
the choices suck.
Yeah, but these guys, Anonymous.
Oh, huh.
They decided their next target is going to be Donald Trump. Okay? Now, this is particularly delicious for me, Larry, for two reasons. One is they're going to expose this asshole. They've already put his social security number on the internet. They've put his cell phone number on the internet. They've put his family's cell phones and contact info and their social security numbers on the internet. And they're promising to hack into everything that he has and expose everything. Now, mind you, I've heard people say, that's horrible, why should Anonymous do this and all that? Listen, I don't know if it's legal or illegal what Anonymous does, okay? Maybe it's legal, I don't know. If they haven't broken into anything and they're just getting together all these public records and shit, God bless them, okay? But here's the other thing. Hey, Rubes, your boy Donald Trump supports the FBI over Apple in that cell phone case. Do you know what that means? That means that the reason he can't encrypt his data and keep it safe from Anonymous is because he supports these public keys for encryption that can be stolen and used by the government to steal your data. He is suffering the fate that he wants for all of us. Right. Except that it's not Donald Trump in charge. It's Anonymous in this particular case.
Right. It's not the FBI doing it for reasons of terrorism. Yeah. But I agree, but I'm not crazy about this group that they just target people and, like, destroy your life or go after you. I mean, though I don't want to be a hypocrite. I was happy when they said they were going after ISIS, but I don't know what they could really do to a group like that.
They shut down a lot of their shit because a lot of what ISIS does is online recruitment.
Yeah, I know, but some of those online things, banking. Yeah, but some of those things could be government things to find out about them. And
I don't like Anonymous necessarily in the field of law enforcement, right?
No, but think about it. Some exposing phony government sites to find out
I understand.
And they might have shut them down, and that's fucked up. So.
That's the downside of something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the other thing. I know for a fact they shut down so many true ISIS recruiting things.
Well, that's good.
And they've interrupted their money flow. But listen, again, if Anonymous is doing something illegal, stop them. But Donald Trump, when you say boycott Apple, and this was, quote, one of his great ideas, Larry.
Yeah. Well,
when you say boycott, yeah. When you say boycott Apple until they give, like, the secrets to encryption for everything, This is what happens. What's happening to you, and I'm assuming since you've got a good brain, right? What does he say? I've got a good brain, a great brain, whatever the fuck you say.
I have the best words.
The best words, all words, best words. I'm a smart guy.
I'm going to start saying that.
Well, you stupid asshole. If you're a smart guy, why is your shit being broken and hacked into by Anonymous? Is that what's going to happen when you're president?
I guess they have better words.
They have better words and better brains than you do.
And better costume and better mask. The guy fucking is hilarious.
I can't wait till they uncover a sex tape of you getting nailed, like, in the ass by Melania wearing a strap-on.
Oh, my God.
If that's the case. I don't know that, it is.
That is awesome.
But that would be fantastic for the next president of the U.S. Because being a WrestleMania participant isn't, like, shitty enough for a future president. Like, this isn't, like, embarrassing enough, apparently.
Clotheslining bits.
Yeah. What Anonymous needs to do is find any home movies there may be of Trump, like, in bondage gear, with one of his wives or whoever potentially having a dildo dicking him in the ass.
I'm surprised Marlon made.
I'm not saying that's. I'm not saying that's the case. By the way,
allegedly.
I'm saying.
Allegedly.
I'm saying it would be great if such stuff existed, and it would be even better
if somebody in a Guy Fawkes mask.
It would be even betterer if Anonymous could find something like
betterer.
That and put it online. It'd be more gooder if they could do something like that. What a fucking asshole.
I know, so do me a favor. I'm not a Trump supporter either. But please stop comparing him to Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, come on.
Please stop. You know why that's also annoying? Because outside of the fact that it's obviously not true, they've really been beating that way too much now. It used to annoy me about the Democrats when I was growing up in the 70s, the 80s, and a little bit into the 90s. Every Democrat had to beat John Kennedy.
Of course.
All right, enough. You're not, outside the fact that he's dead, but you're not. I mean, I'm, like, fucking enough already.
Yeah.
Be your own person, be your own man, yeah. Or be your own woman. Where,
yeah, and you know, and it just goes to show you how much, just to finish that off, how much Reagan's legacy has improved from when they were shitting on him in the 80s, because even Democrats now love to compare themselves to Reagan.
Yeah, fucking Obama talks about him all
Obama,
the time.
Obama, the Clintons,
I mean, they tried a lot to use it for negative things or to prove their point now why they're right, but those
are specific policy things.
Yeah, but those are policy things, and like you realize how really what a great president he was.
Yeah,
and you know, and for all the people out there, let me tell you, all the Obama people who keep talking about what a mess he inherited from George Bush, let me tell you something. If you weren't around for it, you don't know what a mess is. What Ronald Reagan inherited from Jimmy Carter was the economic foreign policy disaster of all time. It was so bad. 21% interest rate. 21% interest rates. 14% inflation. Almost 10% unemployment. This country was going to run. The Iranians were fucking humiliating us, holding our hostages. Carter had negotiated SALT II, maybe one of the worst agreements of all time. Even though it wound up, by and large, being their undoing, the Russians walked right into Afghanistan. They did whatever the fuck they wanted. Terrible. I mean, it was just an awful time. And let me tell you, worse, believe it or not, than what George Bush left Obama. Yeah. Let me tell you. So stop comparing yourself to these people, because you're not John Kennedy and you're not Ronald Reagan. Most of you aren't even Lincoln Chafee. So just give it a fucking rest.
All right. And I was going to say, on the heels of wishing that there were a sex tape of Donald Trump taking it in the ass from a female wearing a strap on, I'm just saying I wish there were a tape like that. We have something almost as good, Larry.
What's that?
Which is that Hulk Hogan, we just found out, the Hulkster, brother. If you remember a couple weeks ago or a month or two ago, we said that he was suing Gawker,
right.
One of the shittiest journalistic endeavors on the internet. He was suing Gawker for $100 million because they posted...
A sex tape
of the Hulk with Heather Klemm, who was the then wife of his best friend at the time, Bubba the Love Sponge, that fat fuck. So Hulk sued because claiming invasion of privacy,
right.
That the tapes were made without his knowledge or consent, and that certainly they were released without his knowledge or consent, and that Gawker owed him money. I think when we first talked about the story, I thought that he should win. And I thought that, he deserved to win.
Right.
Larry thought Gawker was shitty, Hogan was shitty for fucking his best friend's wife or whatever it was.
Bubba was shitty for filming it and letting it go on. I was of the opinion, very quick, I'll let you finish, but I was very much of the opinion that there's nobody good in this situation.
Right, right, right.
And I actually still think that, despite the cash reward.
Yeah,
but
so,
if Barker goes down, that's fine with me,
yeah,
too.
So and I'm sure this will go to appeals and whatnot, but today was announced that Gawker was found guilty of invasion of privacy and all that. And they were ordered to pay $115 million in damages to Hulk. I think 55 was for economic damages and 60 was for emotional damage or whatever. And they still may have to face punitive damages, meaning that, you know, it may be that in order to teach them a lesson, they get hit with another monetary fine. So what's interesting here is that during the court thing, Larry,
right,
was, I think what killed the case for Gawker's thing was that the woman involved in all this, Heather Klemm, who divorced Bubba, and I think she goes by Heather Cole or whatever now, she says, look, my husband and I had an open marriage. Like, she would fuck guys, he would fuck other chicks, whatever. But she said that she had no idea that, you know, she was being filmed having sex with Hulk. And that she fucked Hulk on her husband's instructions. Like, I want you to fuck Hulk or whatever. She also said that when she found out about the tape, she was very upset and asked them to be destroyed. And during her divorce proceedings, as a stipulation in the divorce was that those, you know, all those tapes be destroyed. So clearly there was malice, I think. If you were in the jury, you would think there was malice involved, meaning that here's a woman, she didn't know she was being taped. Hulk didn't know he was being taped.
Right.
The fact that they fucked each other, whether you agree with it morally or not, is inconsequential to the case.
Right.
It was two consenting adults. No one's claiming rape or anything.
Right.
So the question is, did that tape invade his privacy, and was airing of the tape a newsworthy item? Because I think that's where the First Amendment freedom of the press thing comes in.
Right.
Is it a newsworthy item? The jury decided it wasn't. So Larry, the Hulkster, looks like, you know, unless he gets overturned on appeal or reduced on appeal, he looks like he's $115 million richer. And at his age, with his bad back, he probably needs it, because I don't think he's going to wrestle again.
and he's out of the WWE Hall of Fame because he got caught making racial remarks.
Yeah, that's different. That wasn't for fucking a butterface.
No, but the point is, that world is kind of shut off to him now. So look, he's going to have a ton of money.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure he already did.
But, I mean, you know, the fact that you're banging your friend's wife, I don't think that's, you know, I wouldn't want to use that as a character reference in my life, but... as far as all this, you know, look, Gawker, this is what happens. This is obviously not newsworthy. They do these horrible things and they humiliate people, especially if, you know, the people who run these groups, they have like a personal bias against you, if they think you're stupid or they don't like your politics, or they'll deliberately target people and just go after you just to destroy you and just to ruin yourself.
Well, journalists are like,
this is why they invented air quotes for Gawker, journalism.
Right.
I mean, you know.
But journalists in general are a weird breed. And like, you know, in some ways I consider myself a pseudo-journalist, having been a sports writer and, you know, a sports reporter and whatever, right? We had our own radio show about sports.
Yeah.
I wrote for Sports Illustrated back in the day. So call me a pseudo-journalist. I don't claim to be a journalist, right? But journalists in general have this weird thing that they somehow think they're immune from the same rules that apply to everybody else, right?
Right.
So, for example, when you see these journalists that print cops' addresses that they feel, you know, murdered someone, or like that newspaper here in New York, upstate New York, printed all the gun owners' addresses.
Terrible.
Right now, their justification was, well, look, we didn't break any laws. The information is a matter of public record. We put in a freedom of information request. We got it. We printed it. The fact that now everybody knows which house has a gun in it.
Yeah.
So if you're a criminal, you know which houses to avoid and which ones to go to.
Which ones to go wrong.
Or if you're a crackhead that needs to steal a weapon in order to rob people to buy crack, now knows exactly where to go to find guns, okay?
Right.
That didn't matter to them because they're journalists. They have an allegiance to the truth. Well, in a lot of those cases, some of the victims got together. The internet's a wonderful thing, but it's a double-edged sword, you know?
Yeah,
if you could use it to humiliate someone, they could probably do the same to you, okay? No one, no, not even Larry here, is immune from shit being on the internet about you. Even if you think you're a private person, odds are you're not. So I love it when these journalists start bitching and whining, Larry.
No, they're hypocrites.
Like Gawker. No. Gawker's not complaining, oh, we're journalists, we should be able to print this, and blah, 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 blah. Sorry, you lost $415 million. Those two New York Times reporters that started, that printed the officer in, who's the officer who shot Michael Brown in St. Louis? I forget his name right now.
Wilson.
Wilson. They printed his home address, told you exactly where to go, put a map up with it. Why? Because they're social justice journalists, right? So, when supporters of Wilson said, okay, here's the funny thing, here's where this female reporter lives, and here's where the guy who helped her lives, and printed their addresses.
That's cool.
They thought that was the worst thing in the world, and and they came on TV and were crying, oh, we've lost all our privacy now, and blah, blah, blah. Why? They didn't break any laws, right? But you see this with journalists all the time. What's good for the goose is not good for the
medicine. That's the way it goes.
So, you know what? Fuck yourself, journalists.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you're a journalist who does that shit and doesn't like it done to you, or if you're a journalist who supports Donald Trump and then you bitch that someone is killing your story,
right,
or censoring what you have to say, good for you. Good for you. Because if you support an idiot like Trump who is saying that he's going to change, he wants to weaken the First Amendment so he can make it easier to bully and sue people over bullshit libel charges and slander charges, then go fuck yourself. The same thing with any journalist or newspaper that censors one of their people that doesn't stand by... Hey, Breitbart, I always mispronounce
it.
Breitbart. You didn't stand by your reporter when she was manhandled by that Trump's campaign manager. You sold her out, okay?
Right.
Good for you. I'm glad Ben Shapiro called you out and quit on you. I'm glad that he said you're tarnishing Andrew Breitbart's legacy, okay? Because you are. Why would you support an idiot like Trump? He's not a conservative. He's not what Andrew Breitbart was about. So good for you. I'm glad that half your staff is quitting.
I gotta tell you, that is the most appalling thing, though, is if you look at Ann Coulter, Newt Gingrich kind of tacitly seems to like him.
Well, I think Newt Gingrich was also doing the 11th commandment, you know? Like, I think Gingrich didn't, like, he said he preferred Cruz because Cruz is a classic conservative. Like, you heard him. He goes, he studied Hayek, he studied Friedman, and he says if it wasn't for Trump, guess who the outsider would be?
Cruz,
okay? Yeah. But he also said, look, Trump's bringing... Like, you could tell... Look, I was disappointed that he said it at all, but I also think Gingrich was trying to do the Reagan thing and not say anything negative about the potential nominee.
Yeah, because I think his big motivation is he really doesn't want Hillary to win.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are motivated by that. But, like, again, I can't bring myself to be motivated that much to support
Trump. But my point was, I'm just surprised how many conservatives are actually supporting him.
It is very surprising.
I mean, you know, we pick Fox because they have such an abundance of them.
Yeah.
But, you know, and like even Joe Scarborough was kind of a rhino, but he does the show. And after he stepped out, after he dropped out of the race, he admitted, well, I was supporting Jeb Bush.
Yeah.
And it's funny because a lot of people wrote into him in his show going, would you please stop supporting Donald Trump? And he used to tell people, look, before he even came out, he was, I haven't said who I'm supporting, I'm not going to, and, you know, I'm trying to do my job objectively. Then he admitted, you know, when he dropped out, he goes, look, I was supporting Jeb Bush, I wasn't supporting Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So the reason they had him on is it's the same reason we're talking about it now, is because, look, he's all over the place, he can't get away from it. But I have to tell you, I'm amazed at the conservatives who are supporting him. I really am, because, like, I even saw on Hannity the other night, Giuliani was on, and clearly he wasn't very impressed, and he was just kind of, well, you know, I know Donald from like around the city. He was kind of like dancing around it, even though he's not like super conservative. But I am amazed at how many, in my opinion, are kind of selling out their souls.
I'm
falling for the simple rhetoric.
Yeah, here's the thing.
Be great again. Right?
I think Trump supporters, the ones that are Trump supporters, fall into three camps. The first camp is the I hate Hillary camp. So they think that anybody. Is better than Hillary. Anybody, even Bernie Sanders, is better than Hillary, okay? So that there's a group like that. Then there's a group that wants Trump because they are so anti-establishment. They understand Trump is an asshole. They understand Trump is likely the death of the Republican Party if he becomes the nominee, and they like that. They want someone to go fuck things up. They want someone to go sink the Titanic. Yeah. They want someone to blow everything up and start from scratch. I don't agree with those people, but at least those people don't like Trump because of Trump. They just like anyone who's going to bring down the system. Okay? Sanders, theoretically, could bring down the system.
Yeah.
Right? So there's those types of people who like to think they're being hit by saying they're anti-establishment. All right? So there's that group. But by far the largest group supporting Trump is plain simple what I would call rubes. And there's just no other way to describe these people. They are the rubes that the carnival barkers used to make a living off of. They are the rubes that provide 80% of the revenue for the WWE. These are just people who are low information, not educated, and are taken in by the guy who screams last and loudest. Okay?
It's also, it used to be when they were big, it used to be also the parts of the country where televangelists were big.
Yeah.
You ever see a map of the, they once showed one of the channels, but they had a map of the United States and showed like where they tour.
Yeah.
And you see them like going through the South, Midwest, and in the South,
right.
And like Northeast, nowhere. California, Pacific, yeah. Northern, nowhere. And a little bit, those Northerns, yeah. Not so much. And it really is true. I mean, Rubes, Hicks, everywhere, call them whatever you want.
Shit kickers, whatever you feel is appropriate.
But the fact is, this is one of the reasons why, though, even though we've talked about, he is bringing in some new people, there's no doubt. He has an attraction above the basic Republican base, but it's also part of the reason he's going to lose. You cannot win with just angry white people. You just can't. Because if you take black, if you take Hispanics, which are growing tremendously, you take women's votes, and then you get that the Democrats, a very interesting thing in the front of the New York Times today, I get it online, it said that the only group Hillary's really way behind in is white males. Everything else she's kind of doing okay. And compared to these guys, and that's the problem. Donald Trump's group is going to be mostly just white guys.
South,
Midwest. A couple of weird people here and there, you'd be surprised at supporting him. But after, like Mike Tyson. But like after that, that's really his base. And the problem is that's not enough people to win. Now, whether he can actually swing a state like Ohio or Michigan or Pennsylvania that have been going blue, maybe. But I don't think nationally, I don't think it works.
Yeah, I don't either. I think most polls have him topping out at 35, 37, 38% nationally.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And both Democratic candidates right now draw more than that, substantially more than that. So it's not even close if you're a Trump. Cruz beat Sanders and he's head-to-head with Hillary. So take that for what you will, Remember, to win the general election, you don't have to energize your party only. You have to energize enough to overcome the other party's loyalists.
Yeah.
And right now, being an establishment candidate, you have Hillary. She's the loyalist. And the Sanders who want to blow up the system, those people, by and large, cannot stand Donald Trump.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird crossover.
Yeah, there's
some of them, but it's funny also because they really don't like Hillary either. Like, if you look at some of the Bernie Sanders campaign stops, if he mentions her name, there's a lot of boos, there's a lot of, like, catcalls and sounds and things like that. So, but also tying into Donald Trump...
What are we talking about?
Stone Mountain, Georgia.
Oh, Stone Mountain, Georgia, yes. That bastion of intellectualism, compassion, and all-around, like, openness, Larry.
Yeah, look, they've obviously memorized the Constitution down there, so there we go.
So, yeah, Stone Mountain, Georgia.
There's a high school.
There's a high school there that was going to have its prom. Racially diverse high school, from what we read.
Yes.
And apparently there's a group down there that wanted to have a pro-white rally during the prom. Now, what's interesting is if you go to their Facebook page, this group, and I don't want to dignify them by name, but it's a bunch of rubes down there in Hicks who got together and said, listen, we're not affiliated with the KKK or any other racist organization, neo-Nazis, none of that. It's just that we feel the white race is being
overridden, overlooked,
and is being committed genocide against. So we're here just to make sure that we have white pride, you know, just like black pride and all that. Now, what's interesting about this is clearly these are fucking racist assholes, okay? But what you have to be very careful with, and something I'm very careful with, which is why I don't toss the word racist around very easily, because I feel it's used inappropriately 9 times out of 10.
Right.
Like, for example, as a libertarian, I have no intellectual problem with a group saying, we want to celebrate white pride. If, by the same token, there's black pride, Hispanic pride, Indian pride, French pride, Greek pride, Irish pride, whatever, okay? If you think that if you're saying it's free speech, if you're saying it's okay to celebrate ethnicity or race, like we have Black History Month, right? We've always joked what happened to White History Month.
Right.
Right? Why would it be wrong to say, guess who sent people to the moon? Guess who discovered DNA? Figure out who split the atom. Hey, guess who came up with the theory of relativity? All white guys. Let's be proud of that. Okay? Now, I know what you're saying. That's racist. That blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that's what they always say.
It's not racist.
No,
okay?
It's not.
It's inconsistent is what it is. If you think Black History Month is okay, if you think Latino pride is okay, then guess what? Caucasian pride is just as good. It's no better and it's no worse.
It might be better.
Well, it's probably better. But intellectually speaking, if you're a libertarian and if you have a free mind, there is no distinction between, say, Black History Month and a White History Month, okay, intellectually. Where you get into a problem is these assholes.
Right.
Okay? Because theirs is not an intellectual proposition.
No, not at all.
Theirs is very clearly a bigoted, racially divisive proposition.
Right.
Now, mind you, even so, they still have a right to say this shit.
Yeah, and they also want to have a concert for white people after, or a white concert.
Right.
They wrote something like that. It's clearly, like, exclusionary.
Yes.
And the idea of it is just clearly to tweak the other groups and...
They want to start a race riot is what it comes down to. Okay, now, and I can't emphasize this enough, they have every right, and as a libertarian I believe this, they have every right to spew all the nonsense they want. They have every right to be quote-unquote exclusionary. I don't believe in forcing people to do anything, okay, especially the government. I don't believe that if you want to have a concert where only white people are invited, that you should jam blacks and Latinos in there against the people who are having the concert. I think that's wrong. The same way I think it's wrong to go into a Chinese restaurant and demand that 60% of the wait staff is Caucasian, because that's representative of the country.
Right.
Right. When's the last time you saw that? When's the last time you went into a Chinese or a Japanese restaurant
and said,
there's no white guys in here, and by the way, there should be 12% blacks, because that's racially proportional.
This is what I always say about stuff like this. This reminds me of, like, the Pamela Geller thing.
Yeah.
Like, you can do it, but I reserve the right to point out that it's stupid.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I don't have a problem. Like, okay, you want to draw pictures of Muhammad? You could get a tattoo of him on your ass for all I care.
I wish you would.
Yes, that would be charming. You want to have a white pride and your white music and your redneck? Okay.
The second that escalates to physical, though,
No,
sir. You don't put your hands on anybody. You don't toss people out around Donald Trump.
I say the same thing, though, about, like, Black Lives Matter. I think they're idiots. I really do. I don't think these are, like, worthwhile things. But the same thing. I mean, if you want to do it, you go do it. But, you know, I don't single out the white groups who do this. And I think I saw that one interview on Fox with this girl who's the head of Black Lives. She seems as bigoted and hateful as anybody else in this world. And these people are fucked up. And they're getting airtime on television. And nice people like us can't get jobs. It's serious.
Yeah. But here's the thing, okay? So, intellectually, let them protest.
Yeah, let them do it.
Okay? And I'll call racist, because that's clearly what their intention is here. Their intention is to cause racial
animus.
Okay? But I don't say people are racist if they say we want to have a white pride month. that necessarily doesn't make them racist. So just keep that in mind.
Yeah.
All right. Some other things, Larry. I'm looking over the thing here as I know we're running out of time.
Yep.
They finally caught, just very quickly, they caught, we just found out, the ISIS mastermind behind the Paris bombings.
Yep.
I'm going to butcher his name, Larry. What does that say?
Salah Abdeslam.
God bless you. Well, that asshole's been caught. He was captured alive. And hopefully they'll put his balls in a pincer sack or whatever it takes.
In Belgium. Very
Yeah,
exciting.
In Belgium. And he was a French-born, Belgian.
He's a French citizen. Yep.
French-born Muslim living in Belgium. In other words, savage, okay?
Yep.
So he was caught. Hopefully they'll get some information out of him.
I was also very happy to read on one website that an ex-FBI official said that, believe it or not, the French interrogation tactics are more aggressive than what we do.
Yeah.
So hopefully Salah Abdeslam will be wee-weeing in his pants.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
I hope that's true.
And as a follow-up, last November there were 4 stabbings at the University of California, Merced, and the FBI has finally gotten around to classifying them as domestic terrorism. Why? Because even though they knew this a while ago, they found ISIS-based material and propaganda stuff with this kid, and they also found an ISIS flag in his apartment. So why it took the FBI merely like almost 6 months to call this terrorism? Well, we know the reason why, but it was to avoid Obama having to say it's terrorism. And if you notice today, I don't think Obama said it was terrorism. He's out of the picture right now. So he hasn't had to say it was terrorism.
Yeah, but they did the same thing with what ISIS is doing over in the Middle East. They didn't want to call it genocide.
Yeah.
And John Kerry had to finally come out today and say, yeah, it's genocide.
There's genocide against Christians being done
by
ISIS.
His whole business of being oversensitive about, and he's such a jerk off. He has to keep calling it Daesh. Daesh or whatever the fuck. You can't say ISIS. You can't say ISIL like his stupid president he works for. He kept calling him, goes, Daesh is doing this. Daesh is doing that. I was like,
Daesh.
Daesh
I know is Andrew Dice Clay. That's about it. But listen, I mean, to that extent, this is part of Trump's appeal. Like, the reason you have rubes that follow Trump around is because Trump will say those assholes in ISIS, okay? Like, I say those assholes in ISIS, okay? But I'm not running for president. But this is the type of shit that breeds Trump. Now, I've seen all these people say, no, it's what do they say? Intolerance of the Republican Party that breeds him. No, partially, maybe. But this is even worse, the political correctness, the refusal to call terrorism terrorism.
And he capitalizes on that big time.
Yeah.
Because one of the reasons that they, I forgot what I was watching, but they said, big reason for supporting Donald Trump. They asked a few people. They all cited, even if they talked about the economy or ISIS, right? They all talked about political correctness. They all talked about how much they hate it. They all talked about they're tired of being told what to say, what the thing was. And they love the fact that he's brash and he's out there and just calling them those Muslim extremists. They're cutting people's heads off and they're doing these things. They love it. And this kind of stupid behavior. Then on the opposite extreme, we have Mr. Politically Correct in the White House. Doesn't want to call them terrorists, doesn't want to call them, like, of course, they don't hesitate to call white guys who do fucked up things and then identify them by race, gender, and religion. But this, they're not touching it. They're completely bought in on that this is a big recruiting tactic.
Absolutely.
And that's bullshit. There's no proof that you want to know what their recruiting tactic is? Let me tell you something. Since Donald Trump says he talks to himself, instead of talking to yourself, you should listen to other people who know. You know what the former heads of all the CIA talk about? They talk about, here's a recruiting tactic. There's this country called Israel. It's run by Zionists. They're trying to wipe out our religion. They've got this big lumbering Christian brother, the United States of America, who does all their dirty work. And together, they're trying to wipe out our religion. So come join us. That's their recruiting tactic. Not Donald Trump calling them extremists or radicals or...
Right.
And you avoiding saying these things...
empowers them even more.
Yeah, that's just stupid. How are you going to fight your problem? You don't even know.
Well, it's also a sign of weakness to savages. Because, like I said, like you're not dealing with diplomats. They don't have the... It's not like Sinn Féin and the IRA, right? There's no political wing of ISIS, okay, that you can deal with. It's just savagery all the way around. All right, let's wrap this up very quickly. We've got an interesting story, and this is why you should be a libertarian in Phoenix. There was a call that cops responded to. When they got to the place, they didn't see anything wrong, so they went and entered a woman's house. I don't have her name handy, Larry, but she was a mom with a 15-year-old daughter. Cop illegally entered the house without being invited and without a search warrant and without probable cause, went into the kitchen. Right. Woman was wearing nothing but a towel. She said, "Get out of my house, don't touch me," and because, you know, I would do the same thing too. What the fuck are you doing in my house? I don't care if you are a cop, right? So he decides he's going to cuff her forcefully, buck naked, you know, right? Like
nice.
And unlike the porno movies, which give me a rod over something like this, this was actually just a complete case of abuse of police power. And you can see now, fortunately, two things happened. One, the daughter of the woman got the cell phone.
Right.
So she was recording everything. Two, the guy's partner had a body camera on.
Right.
And, you know, kudos to that cop. He could have just as easily turned it off, because the cop that violated the woman's rights was smart enough to turn off his body camera when he went in. This other cop kept his body camera in, so he actually ratted out his partner. And the reports, and God bless him, and good job by him, he reported the incident immediately to his superiors, and the city council in Phoenix awarded this woman $125,000 in damages. So, didn't even have to go to court. Yeah, they just made her an offer, and good for, you know, that's the type of shit.
He's off the force.
He said he retired, but he's off the force. But what's scary is on this tape, you hear this cop saying, "I don't need a warrant. I don't care. When you see a cop, I'm in charge, even if it is your house. I'm in charge in your house. You do what I tell you." Like, that is bullshit Gestapo tactics, okay? No probable cause, no warrant, not a hot pursuit or anything like that. Nothing to justify his entering that house. So, it took me 27 minutes to cross one avenue yesterday in New York City. It took me at 49th and 5th, Larry, it took 27 minutes for me to cross the street. We're talking about a 30-second travel time. All because drunken teenagers decided that they wanted to have a parade. You know me, Larry, ban all fucking parades. Please join me in my holy grail. # ban all parades. There is absolutely no reason to have parades, Larry.
I always used to say,
New York.
Unless it's the 4th of July or a local sports team winning, there's
not
no reason that.
That
there should be. But other than that, get out of here. Canyon Heroes, fine. Sports, good. 4th of July, I'm down. All these other ones, every other week, the Puerto Ricans, the Italians, the Irish, fuck you. Okay? Think about the 4th of July. Think about being Americans. That's
anything that closes down city streets, banned as far as I'm concerned.
Well, then you're living in the wrong city.
Fuck that.
Between that and the street fairs that they're always doing and all these. Actually, you know what the worst part is now? All the bicycles. Oh, my God.
But anyway.
Let's wind this down.
Absolutely. Too frustrating. All right. For Judo Larry M, this has been your host, Big Fat John. Until next week, peace, America.
join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larry M. This is Mark, the man with the golden voice. And I'm not wearing any pants.